Last time we were rejoicing in the coming again of the Lord Jesus, the blessed hope for the church. And as the years pass, I think this means more and more to me. I think of the fact that I've buried, you know, different loved ones, and the thought of His coming, the thought of being reunited with those that love the Lord, with family, with those that have died in the Lord, the hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Himself. Of course, that's the greatest thing, isn't it? If we love the Lord, and as the years pass, you pray, you read the Word, you fellowship with Christians, and your love for Him deepens. You know, Christianity is not just an abstract thing where you're believing doctrines. It's coming to know a person, the most wonderful person that ever walked the face of this earth, the Lord Jesus Himself. And increasingly, just coming to love and appreciate Him. The unbeliever doesn't understand that. That seems so far-fetched to him. To him, church is just an organization, and people go there and pay their money to keep a preacher fed and going. And there isn't the realization that coming to know the Lord is a wonderful experience of coming to know God Himself. Now today we're going to go on. We talked too about the fact that there's the truth about Jesus Himself that is vital to Christianity, and it's truth that saves. He says there's one Lord. Christians believe that Jesus is Lord. Christians confess Lord Jesus. And Christians worship Him. Christians acknowledge He is God manifest in the flesh. So that there is truth about the person of Jesus, His deity, that Christians accept. And this is why some groups, even though they call themselves Christian churches, if they deny this truth, they are not Christian churches. They may be religious organizations, but any group that does not acknowledge the deity of Christ is not Christian in the true sense of the word. They're in another ball game completely. And we need to be realistic here. We may have compassion for these people, but let's not confuse the issue and say, well, they're all lovely Christians because they're nice people. There are a lot of nice people in this world. Nice, friendly people, amiable people who simply are not Christians. And they're sinners too, in spite of their niceness. But now, the next phrase in Ephesians 4 here says, one Lord, one faith. Now, it isn't talking here about the act of believing, but it's talking about that which is believed, the content that you believe. To be a Christian, to become a Christian, there are certain things you believe. You hear a message, there are certain facts that you hear, and then you come to the point where you believe, you accept, and you commit yourself to this truth. Now, what is this truth? What is the basic gospel, we could say here, that Christians hear and believe, that marks them as Christians? I think in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul sums it up very nicely when he says, I make known to you, brothers, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein also you stand. Now notice this, by which also you were saved. Now, he's going to tell us here in a few words this message that he preached, and Paul ought to know the gospel. He certainly ought to be qualified to define for us, to tell us exactly what it is we should believe in order to be saved. And so he does this very briefly and concisely. He says, this is the gospel which I preach. This is the gospel you received. This is the gospel you're taking your stand on. And he says, this is the gospel by which you were saved. So it's very important. Now, this is the faith, then, that is vital for Christians to know and to believe, if they're going to be Christians in the true sense of the word. Paul says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. This is truth I received, and I'm passing it on. I'm not the origin of it. I'm not the source of it. I'm just a custodian. I'm just a channel. He says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that he has been raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared, or that he was seen, by Cephas, and then he goes on to name the witnesses. And this, Paul says, in just a couple of verses here, he sums up the basics of Christian faith. And he says, these are things I preached, and these are things that you believed, and these are the things that you must believe in order to be saved from your sin. This is the Christian faith in a nutshell. And you might ask yourself, do I believe this? Is this true of me, that I can say, yes, I have received this message, I have received this gospel, and I am saved because I believe? Now, what does he say here are the basics that he proclaimed to them? Well, first of all, he says Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Now, everyone knows that Christ died. There's nothing too earth-shaking about proclaiming that fact. All believe, yes, that there was a man, at least historically, he lived, he was born, he lived, he died, he was crucified. There's evidence of his crucifixion. But the critical part now here is, why did he die? What was the purpose of his death? See? And here Paul says, Christ died for our sins. And not simply because of our sins. He didn't simply die because people were sinners, and because Pilate was a sinner, and because the high priest and the Pharisees were sinners, in claiming he was making wrong statements, and that he was a threat, and in asking for his death. And because they were such wicked sinners, he died. This is not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying Christ died as a substitute for our sins. As Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The truth there of substitution. The truth that here Jesus, when he died, was taking my place. Was dying for me, my substitute. And this is very vital in the proclamation of the gospel. And also, the proclamation that this is enough. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. This is enough. This satisfies God. I heard of a gospel preacher who spent a good deal of time during a series of meetings simply preaching the theme that God is satisfied with Jesus. God is satisfied with his death. Are you satisfied? God says his death is enough to pay for sin. Do you believe that's enough to pay for your sin? God says, I'm pleased with all that Jesus did. Are you pleased with what Jesus did? Or do you think it's inadequate? Do you think it's insufficient? And so here, the message that we proclaim is Christ died for our sins, and God is satisfied, and God is pleased, and God has put his stamp of endorsement on the whole work of Christ, his death on the cross and all, by raising him from the dead. He was buried, he's been raised on the third day. Now, the burial, too, is an important part. Let me just touch on that before we move on. The burial is important because it's a proof of his death. The whole account makes this very strong. There are still people today writing books somehow trying to explain away the resurrection by saying he swooned or he was drugged. Or people come out with all sorts of weird theories that are so completely unrealistic. Jesus died. He really died. And the soldiers were surprised he was dead already, but to prove it, they drove a spear deep up into his heart area, into his abdomen. And he was dead. There was no movement. The blood and water came out. And if he hadn't been dead before, he would have been then. So that he died. It's very plain. He was buried. And the guard was placed. And a proof of his resurrection, too, is that because of the guard and all the rest, it would not have been possible for the body to have been stolen. And he was raised, and that resurrection is the great proclamation of God the Father, that Jesus is all he claimed to be, that his work was completely pleasing to the Father, and God is satisfied with Jesus. He's satisfied with the work he did, and I wish you could ask yourself the question, am I satisfied? Am I trusting him? Is this all that I need? Am I really happy with what Jesus did? And if you're trusting him, you know, you need nothing else. Many people today get confused, and they're thinking, well, yeah, what Christ did was fine, but in order for me to be saved, I have to perhaps have a certain emotional experience. Maybe if I have this certain feeling, if I go through this experience, then that will save me. And they begin looking within and looking at themselves and thinking, have I felt this way? Have I had this tremendous spiritual high? And perhaps if I've had a certain experience, then I'm saved. And I'd like to suggest, if you're thinking in those terms, you're getting your eyes off the Lord and you're getting your eyes on yourself, and you're going to get more and more confused. And you need to turn away from yourself and your feelings and all the rest and look at the Lord Jesus and realize when he died for your sin. And God says, I'm satisfied with that. I don't need anything more. And you need to look at the Lord Jesus and say, all right, am I satisfied with him? Is that enough for me? Can I trust that and that alone? And if you do that, then you're going to have peace and rest about it. And Paul says, this is the gospel that saves, and this is the gospel that will give people a right standing with God. And so people get confused about emotional experience, or else they're thinking in terms of some work. But really, what Christ did is not quite enough. It was good, but some may add baptism. They'll say, well, you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. Some will say, well, you've got to take the Lord's Supper in order to be saved, or to stay saved. Or some will say, well, you've got to join the church, or maybe you need to keep the Ten Commandments, or keep the Golden Rule. And they begin to add all these other things that they say you're going to have to do in order to qualify for God's heaven, in order to be saved. Any of those things is a denial that Christ's work is enough. The hymn says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. What are you clinging to today? What are you depending on today? Are you depending on your emotions? Are you depending on your works, on your church membership, on your good life? All of these things, while they may have their place, will not save and will not keep you saved. It's Christ who is the Savior of sinners. It's Christ's work. It's Christ's death. And it's nothing else. And if you add anything to it, you're confusing the issue. May the Lord help you to understand.